This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much. Voice a little bit rough this morning.
Yeah, too much card playing. Mother-in-law's last
night. Can't handle those late hours anymore. The Zoomerdom has caught up with me, Naz.
Both of us.
Man, it's so much
I wonder
easier.
How Louie is.
Let's find out how leaping Lou Franceschetti is. Good morning, sweet Lou. How are you this morning?
Oh, gentlemen, I'm just great. You know, sitting here on my sofa watching all the highlights.
You're watching hockey highlights, football highlights, NCAA. What are you watching?
I'm watching everything. It was a great day for football yesterday in the college aspects.
Well, it was a great day for football. Great day for the Toronto Argonauts. Argonauts finished off their season 16-2, best record in team history. Tied the 1989 Edmonton team. They were called the Eskimos in those days. For the best record ever in CFL history. So we're on the march to the Grey Cup, Naz. I notice you're regaled this morning, and you're head to toe in Buffalo Bills swag this morning, Naz.
Yes, I am, and not celebrating the last victory because I don't know about this team. It just doesn't impress me anymore.
Yeah, why don't we take a minute to chat very briefly about the Bills, and we got some Leaf talk we got to get into, and just let our listeners know this morning. We're going to be talking to Raptors coach Butch Carter just after the first break, and back half of the show, we're going to talk to Steve Simmons from Post Media Toronto Sun on a unique topic. He wrote an interesting article about high school football and the importance of high school football to a lot of us who played it or watched it back in the day, and. We're going to have a good chat with him. And Naz, if I understand correctly, I think the way the Ducks lined up, you may have played against Steve Simmons in 1974, I think. Yeah.
I may have faced him. I think I did.
Yeah, so we're gonna have some fun with Steve Simmons on that one. You want to take a shot at the Bills first, Naz?
Well, what's there to take a shot about? My goodness gracious, they dominate the game and we're lucky to win. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, they've, for lack of a better term, they have been inconsistent over the last little while. At the end of the game against Tampa, I mean, you get a victory. I guess you're supposed to celebrate, but that's not the way a team that's a supposed Super Bowl contender, it's supposed to be a team that has a path to the Super Bowl. They've got talent. They've got an all-world quarterback, some Stephon Diggs, some all-pros. Injury troubles, yeah, we'll go there. But the mental mistakes at the end of that game, they basically had a game that was won that they made every effort to give back to Tampa. But for the referees not calling pass interference on that Hail Mary at the end and the Tampa receiver going one way rather than the other, you could have had a different, the penalties. You've got Tampa four down, two penalties on fourth down that kept drives going. I mean,
incredible.
You know, if you want, you know, to Super Bowl, you want to go to the Super Bowl. That's not the way you do it.
Well, hopefully they get their rest in, because they play Thursday and they don't play until the following Sunday. So they get 10 days rest, yes. I guess. So that may help the team.
Well, hopefully they can refocus because they've got some really tough games coming up against some of the best teams in the league.
What a schedule.
Pretty brutal schedule. They're going to have to win a couple of those or I don't want to be here in the last couple of the weeks of the season worrying about whether the Bills are going to make the playoffs or not.
Realistically, I think they're going to go 11-6, so they needed to take those games at home that they play those tough teams.
Yeah, 11-6 ain't going to give them much home field.
No, it'll be Miami's.
Yeah, Miami, so that's just some really, really, I would call subpar performances, although they got the result. Louis, you don't live and die the Bills the way Naz and I do. As an objective observer, what's your analysis of the Bills?
Well, I think there's a lot of talk about Josh Allen taking the run away from him, and the way I look at it is that he feels comfortable with that. And now, if you're going to start doing that, I think Josh is more or less thinking that he is Superman, and he has to do everything to put this team over top instead of trying to keep everything nice and simple. I know at the end of the game, he got a little chaotic there with Tampa Bay. But Josh took it more or less upon himself. When he had to run, he ran. When he had to throw, he threw the ball. And it was great that he got the other receivers involved, Davis and Kincaid. Instead of always putting Diggs at the forefront of everything. And you could see Diggs was getting a little bit frustrated because he wasn't getting the ball. But Buffalo at the time, they were moving it. So I could see that happening too.
Naz, your assessment of the Bills so far, we want to win some games and beat the Dolphins.
Yeah, what's really bothering me about the team is that they're undisciplined. They take penalties at the wrong time.
Just
they
horrible.
Always take penalties, and it's like penalty that. After penalty after penalty.
And that one on, I don't know which specific player it was, but it's fourth down. You've got the guy in your grasp, not even close, in a face mask.
And they had him for a 5-yard loss.
For 5-yard fourth down, and in a face mask. Are you kidding me?
No.
And then there was another penalty on fourth down, and
well, hopefully they get some rest and they come back.
They have had some really great performances at certain times this year. Just got to find that consistency. Injuries are injuries. You got to overcome them. Von Miller seems to be starting to get into a groove. The loss of Matt Milano, that hurts.
Yeah.
No question. Tre'Davious White in the corners.
It looks like the running game looks good. James Cook looks great out there, the former Georgia Tech running back, and he looks great out there.
Yeah,
I think their running is okay.
Yeah, what I find a little bit disconcerting is, you can look at the defense and say, well, we've got some injury trouble back here, and, you can sort of, I don't like to use the word excuse, but the offense, all-world performance against the Dolphins, and then they don't seem to be making much happen out there, Ness.
Yeah. Louis, what do you think of Kincaid?
I think he's a great second option to Diggs. He's not that big a blocking back, but he catches everything that is thrown to him. And if I'm not mistaken, is he from North Dakota State? So he really hasn't had that much exposure.
Yeah, they said he's the best receiver in the draft.
It's great to see another option there for Josh Allen, but Josh has just got to realize that, he's not everything. He's got to work with everybody on the team to make this thing click, because when they do click, there's not too many teams that are going to match him up front.
Yeah, certainly the Bills are heading into a tough part of their schedule. They've got some of the best teams in the league coming up that they're going to be facing off against. So
yeah, they have Cincinnati coming back in the next game. Right?
So hopefully they got some extra time before their next game. So that's always a nice thing to have at this time of the season. So hopefully they can get refocused a little bit and bring out some of the performances that we know that they're capable of. So Leafs, let's move topic and Leafs overtime loss last night, 5-game road trip. I think we're fairly pleased with the results over the road trip, 5-gamer. Goaltending, Wohl, has looked pretty good. Samsonov played better last night. I think over the, if we're going to push forward, you'd like to have both of them playing extremely well. But you've got to be pleased with Joseph Woll, Naz.
He's locked in, Joseph Woll. He's really locked in. Played really well. I'm worried about their defense. They've lost a couple of guys already, McCabe and Lindgren last night. So they're down two guys, and I don't know where the depth's coming from because Marlies don't have that great a defense either. So.
Well, one of the depths coming from having to play Giordano close to 20 games. But Lou, good point, Naz. You know, the D, perhaps they can't go as deep as they have the last couple of years. Apparently, McCabe, his injury isn't that serious. And from what I'm reading, there's not going to be that much time off there, if any at all. And Lilligren, I don't know what his status is and when he'll be back. But Giordano had to pick up the slack last night. And, you know, Brody and Riley had to absorb more minutes. So.
Riley looks incredible out there. He looks like a Norris Trophy candidate.
It's the pizza. It's the Pizzaville commercials now.
must be.
Well, there's going to be some interesting stuff coming up on that front, but we won't get into that. Louis, your assessment of the Leafs' week.
Well, you know what? Anytime you go on the road and you get 7 points out of a possible 10, it's a great road trip.
Not bad.
Especially with the places that they went to, Tampa, Florida, the Panthers, Dallas, and Nashville. So, you know, you got to be quite pleased. The injury front is going to hit them right now with the lack of defense. We'll see what kind of more or less depth they have down in the minors to put a few guys in there, and it's going to put a little bit more taxing on the defense that they have right now. And you know, it's great that Mark scored a goal last night from inside the crease. That was a big point there for him, knowing that he can still hit the empty net. But you know what? It's going to be taxing on the defense, and maybe even on the forwards to come back a little more and help everybody out in the defensive zone.
What do you think of Sheldon Keefe's strategy in the overtime, starting David Camp as the center instead of Matthews or Nylander or Marner? They started David Camp. I don't get it.
Naz, I'm not a big Sheldon Keefe fan, so I'll leave it at that. He has done questionable things over the past. I personally think the only reason he was there is because Dubas brought him in from the Sioux, and he did so well with the Sioux there. So there's a lot better options at the coaching end of it. There mistakes that he makes.
But let's talk about the specific decision last night at the beginning of the overtime. And Naz and I had a brief chat before the show about that. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch. Did that have anything to do with the fact that his stars got tired in the last 30 seconds of the game? I don't recall, because otherwise, you know, if you're starting the overtime and nobody's gassed, I don't see how you can't put Nylander out there.
Yeah, but David Camp is like eighth or ninth player down.
It's absolutely.
Like he's not up there. And, you know, Domi and
you know, you want to get a D out there, like a guy like Riley who can skate.
Riley,
you want guys who can skate,
Riley
right?
Started, but yeah, but having David Camp up there, I don't get it for the overtime.
Guys, these guys have enough depth on the front six forwards. You load up. I'm a big fan that in overtime you go with your big guns.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
Okay, what are you waiting for? You know.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you waiting for? You got 5 minutes. Get Matthews, Marner, Nylander is Mr. Sudden Death. You know, he's the guy.
Yeah.
If there's one guy I want out there in the overtime, it's Nylander.
He's been your best forward all year, Nylander, and he's sitting on the bench. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. So there's a, and again, there's one point that they could look at maybe at the end of the year that might hurt him. But again, you go with your guns in overtime. They've got enough loaded that you can go maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds. You can go probably too deep with the forwards that they have, and you can throw in a Lilligren. You can throw in Riley as your third player with two of their forwards, and take your shots with that, because they've been creative in overtime, especially when Nylander gets the puck. It's like nobody's ever going to get it, take it off him, right?
Yeah. So. That's unfortunate. I don't know if anybody asked Keith that question after the game.
I'll tell you what, Nylander's been the MVP for the Leafs this year, as far as I'm concerned. And he's stripping guys of puck. Forsberg, good players, and coming back checking. And like
maybe we should have signed him before the season started.
I think he's worth $15 million. No.
He's worth
10 anyway.
You know what? He's an all-world talent. Nobody's ever questioned that. He's a force, you know. If there's an overtime, he's my first guy on a 3-on-3. First guy I throw over. He's won or been a difference in so many overtime games over the last couple of years.
Hey guys, do you think that he could be pricing himself out of Toronto?
Probably. He keeps playing like this.
He'll get 12, 13 somewhere else for sure. Yeah. There's some teams that have the money, right?
You're absolutely right. Owners have big egos out there.
Well, you know, there's obviously a significant amount of talent underneath that number 88 sweater, and you know, we've never questioned Nylander's talent. You know, he keeps performing like this. Yeah, he may in fact be pricing himself out of the Toronto market. Should have signed him before the season started. But I'm sure they tried to figure that out too, and the numbers didn't work for whatever reason.
Is he worth more than Marner right now? Right now, I got to think so.
Lou,
I think he is. He's doing a lot more than Marner is.
Yeah, but you really want to make you want to make that evaluation. How many games are we into the season? How many games are we in this?
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I think
the body of work, you know, before we start having that kind of a discussion, I think we have to, you know, Marner's got a longer body of work than Nylander has at that level, right? Marner's a 100-point a season guy. No, I'm not going to criticize Willie Nylander right now. He's playing awesome hockey, and God bless him.
He's only 12 points out. He had 87 last year.
Yeah, no,
Nylander. So he's pretty close.
Yeah, let's just going to pat him on the back and clap for him and say keep it up. You know, he's going to be a key. You know, if Leafs ever going to take it to the promised land, right? He's got to be one of your key guys, just like the rest of their core, right?
Well, just don't forget that Marner's got Matthews and Nylander's got everybody else.
Yeah, no. You know, it's funny how we've all jumped on the Nylander bandwagon all of a sudden. I wouldn't say all of a sudden.
I've been there all the way.
For the last 3-4 years? Yeah, I've always said, you know, when they were talking about, you know, we got to ship him out of town for, you know, you get these ridiculous comments, ship him out of town for what? I said, are you kidding me? The guy's an all-world talent. If he's able to bring it perhaps a little bit more than he's been criticized for in the past, well, he has so far this year, and this is what you get, right? So let's certainly hope that he keeps going on that. Guys, we've got to take it to break. We come back from break. For all of our loyal Pizzaville customers, our good people at Pizzaville are going to be spreading some good cheer today. We're going to give out some numbers. A lot of you listeners already know those numbers because I'm sure you're going to start calling, burning up the lines. But I'll give them up, give out the numbers as soon as we get back. When we come back, we're going to come back with Butch Carter, and we're going to talk some Raptors basketball. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, "We'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed."
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best. At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise. Understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs.
It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. We also live video and audio stream at zoomerradio.ca. As promised, our good friends at Pizzaville are going to be generous this morning. We've already had, I haven't even given out the numbers yet, and we've already given one away. Pat from Cambridge, you, thanks for calling in. For everybody else, we're going to give away a few this morning. The number is in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Toll free, 1-866-740-4740. We've got operators standing by taking your calls, and let's give away some Pizzaville coupons. We'll take, we've given one away to our producer. We'll take another two for now, and maybe some more later on in the show. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour former Raptors coach, a good friend of ours, Butch Carter. Good morning, Butch. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Walter. You got a little spunk in your voice this morning.
voice a little bit rough this morning for me, Butch. I'm doing my Butch Carter imitation this morning. So thanks for joining us, Butch.
It's a good thing, Butch.
It was meant as an absolute compliment. I just, you know what? I'm fully in the middle of Zoomer age category here, and can't handle the late nights anymore, Butch. It has an effect on the voice the next morning.
How are you, Naz?
Pretty good, Butch. Pretty good.
Butch, we also have Lou on the phone, so we got the four horsemen of the apocalypse going this morning. So,
good morning, Lou. Good morning. How are you, man?
Morning, Butch.
It's always a thrill having the four of us on. It's always a good conversation. Butch, the Raptors are into it now, so very, very briefly, didn't get the result we would have liked last night. Let's take us through, Butch. Bring us your insights. We've got a new coach, got a rookie. We've got the world MVP from the last FIBA tournament, Dennis Schroeder. Bring us up to speed on all things Raptors. What have you liked so far? What haven't you liked?
Well, I mean, guys, look, historically, I say give them 20 games, right? But there are some things that have been glaring in these first three games. First, the undiscipline of Scottie Barnes. And when I mean undiscipline, they lose in Chicago because of they just wouldn't stay on the ground and foul DeMar DeRozan. The game should have been over. Last night he was called to double-team Embiid. He runs over there like a kid in the seventh grade that's never played basketball. And Schroeder played great, you know, in the FIBA tournament. But the issue for Schroeder has always been he can play basketball, but he is disconnected sometimes. So they've got an issue with Schroeder. You've got to get him involved in the game because he's so much better player when he's involved than when he's just standing around and not involved and not a primary. And it's either he has a short attention span, but when he's engaged, he can be really good. The other one is they need a new backup point guard. It seems to me they're forced to play the kid that they drafted. He is. So here's the history of backup point guards. And backup point guards, they have to be effective with the officials. In other words, they can move the second unit. The second unit isn't always getting you behind 8 or 10 points. But this kid they're playing that they drafted, he goes to the basket, no fouls. Someone else goes to the basket on him, they call a foul. It's what we, you know, I define as there were lots of guys you played with in the playground, but you couldn't put them in a game with their, where there were officials. And because you have to be effective with the three kings, all right? They affect the game. They know who can play. And you got these staffs that think it's always the officials' fault. The officials have seen more basketball than any of the knuckleheads. And last night I was shocked because every time I watch an NBA game, it seems like there's five more assistant coaches. Right? It's like going from a small kingdom to, you know, now you got all these advisors. And I don't know how many guys were wearing white shirts last night that they were on the staff. But collaboration, this word collaboration is brought into the NBA. It kills leadership. The young head coach has to lead. If he's going to be a rah-rah guy, he is going to keep losing these close games because of the lack of discipline. And when you have a lack of discipline, it is so glaringly apparent to the officials. Because, as I told people, look, don't sit in the scouting room and tell me how effective you think the guy is. The most important thing is those three zebras at least will go to neutral and give your player a chance to show what he can do. And they're not very good. You know, historically, I always say, I start practice from the end of the game. In other words, we, while the players are fresh, we go through the end of the game scenarios and then go toward practice because they're too fatigued and lack of mental lock-in at the end of practice. The other thing that the Raptors are ineffective is when their subs are coming, there's no routine. You got guys that want to score, but you don't have guys that want to defend. Every time Scotty Barnes doesn't like to play, he looks and wants to cuss the official out. From the time I've been in the league, there are tons of guys. The first one I remember is a kid named Billy Ray Bates. Billy Ray Bates was out of a small black school called Kentucky State. He looked he made Tarzan look like nothing. Unbelievably physical athlete. But physical athlete has to have two things in the NBA. Mental quickness, all right, and skill. So Scotty is not exerted. You know, and you guys have heard me. Like, I didn't like him when he played at Florida State. Leonard Hamilton, who was the head coach of Florida State, had a great team. And he let him play point guard. And when they got in the ACC tournament, they were extremely ineffective because he couldn't bring the ball up. And he never takes full responsibility of what he's supposed to do. Then it's definitely a lack of growth that I've seen now in him in 3 years. He spends more time barking at the official than he does looking at himself in the mirror and saying he has to clean it up. Go ahead, Ness.
I think I know the answer to this question, Butch. Do you think they're going to make the playoffs?
I don't see how. They're already starting the injury stuff, right? But they have three players that aren't superstars on both ends of the court: Scotty Barnes, Anunoby, and Pascal. And so the reality is, I don't see how when you've got Boston, Milwaukee. I mean, you just go down the list. You know, and you got teams where their stars play both ends. And right now they got a young coach and they got his 15 assistants. And to me, they're struggling with getting the team to mature. And the other thing you got to remember, Dennis Schroeder, like I tell people, you have to be a very good coach when you start taking veteran players who've been around the league, because they can see if you know what you're doing right away. Because they've been in so many good and bad situations. So he has to get his rotation cleaned up. Someone has to sit down. Because if this was the problem last year, no wonder Nick wanted out so bad. Because there's no controls on Scotty Barnes. All you got to do is watch the game And how many times is he going to have both? When you see a player with both palms up, it only means two things in basketball. One, he doesn't know what the play is that's being called. Or two, all right, it's like he's at an opera, and who he's singing to are the officials.
Lou?
But you got great remarks there, my friend. I'm just wondering, is there going to be a clash between two people with attitude like Scotty Barnes and Schrader? And two, do you think it's the entitlement that that Scotty Barnes has more or less has been the face of the Raptors the last year, because he's almost on every commercial you're watching on TV nowadays?
Well, it's worse than that, Lou, because he's been this person all the way through youth basketball. Right? Scotty Barnes should not have been playing point guard at Florida State, but that's what the coach had to do to get him to come there. All right, so you know, he's a problem, because it's not a problem when you elevate a player. It's a problem when a player doesn't handle it.
Yeah.
Butch, new coach Darko Rečević. Your assessment. Let's break it down a little bit of how he's his play calling, how he's setting the team up. Any what differences do you see from the way Nick Nurse was running the team?
So remember, Nick would always what we call junk the game up. He'd play a little zone. He did that against the Raptors last night, coming out of timeouts to break up their plays. But they were very disciplined about it, right? The issue is with Darko is that it's not just guys having been a head coach, but when you go from the assistant coach to the head coach, you have to start to make your players mature, because the clock is so short that immature teams, all right, are very ineffective in a late clock situation. A late clock is always defined as 10 seconds or less in a game. And so Darko's come in, and they're selling. And remember that, you know, you're only getting what they want you to hear because of who owns the team. They are not giving you the reality of what we're seeing. You know, Darko's enthusiasm. You know, Toronto has won on knowledge-based coaches and the maturity of their teams. Because as I tell the players all the time, I'm not going to defend anyone, and I'm not going to make a basket. Don't even ask me to take a shot in practice. That's your job. You have to mature them to understand we need to be good against winning teams. And the ultimate decisions have to be based off of how good are our players against winning teams. So Darko, I don't even know if he understands that. See, a lot of the guys, they become head coach and they're like, okay, I got the title. You know, now I can dress and look. You know, people want to hear my voice. Like a really good coaches, their voices are not heard much. They're very effective in practice. They're very effective in one-on-one meetings with the players. And whatever that his group of 15 are telling him, it's not going to work, because you can see who's responsible for developing Scotty Barnes mentally. It is not happening. You saw he puts him in a bad spot by fouling in Chicago. And it's against DeMar, so we know what DeMar's going to do, all right? And last night, every time he made a mistake, it was the official's fault, right? So, you know, it's a tough spot, because whatever the guy said in the interview to get the job, all right, in the first three games, it's not rolling over. He's not showing the maturity that he needs to bring to his players so that they go to the next level, so that they can play against these top four teams in the East.
The lower bowl in the Scotiabank Center, Butch.
Yeah.
8 minutes in, empty. How do you correct that?
They're becoming like the Leafs.
Well, first of all, you could lower the price of tickets.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Right.
Yeah, okay. But it's brutal. 8 minutes into into the quarter, and there's nobody there.
No, well, you know where they are. Those tickets are, lowering the price of tickets got nothing to do with it. Those tickets are sold, Butch. You know where the seat holders are. That doesn't take much to figure that out.
Well, they're losing money because it's gross revenue per seat, and that means the tickets, the hot dogs, the pizza, you know, the sushi. It's not a good environment, Naz. Actually, we're sitting here watching a game, and my wife is the one that said something to me about no one's at the game. And I said, well, it's one of the last weekends to shut your cottage down. All right, you got college football playing, and, you know, there are a lot of things that people have to do.
I'm not so sure they're not at the game. I can't speak so much about Raptors games, but at the Leaf games, they're there. They're just back having a couple of martinis or a Negroni or whatever else they're having, and they're networking and impressing clients and that kind of thing. And, you know, they'll come back, you know, 8 minutes into the second period or whatever. The Raptors crowd, I'm not so sure about, but... a good chunk of those people are actually there. They're just not necessarily watching the game. That's
unfortunate because the Raptors, the last 15 years, have had the best game atmosphere in the NBA.
It's been unbelievable. And so much more different than Leaf games. And, you know, we've talked about the Leaf crowd on the show, and especially in the playoffs last year. You know, we're playing playoff hockey, and into the 8 minute mark of the second period, you know, people are still aren't in their seats, and, you know, you lose the benefit of that home ice advantage. Butch, we've got to let you go. We've got to catch up with Steve Simmons. He's coming on in a couple of minutes, and we don't want to keep him holding too much longer. So we're going to thank you, and we're just going to say we'll get you back real soon, Butch.
Thanks, guys. Always great to be around with you guys.
Always a pleasure. Butch Carter. Okay. Thanks so much, Butch. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back and talk some high school football with Steve Simmons. We've got a couple of $50 Pizzaville coupons still to give away. They're great items. Give us a call, 416-360-0740, or toll free, 1-866-740-4740. We'd love to give them away. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, "We'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed."
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best.
At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com. and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. Live video and audio streaming at zoomerradio.ca. We're thrilled to have with us this morning Post Media, the Toronto Sun's legendary sports writer in Canada, Of course, I'm talking about Steve Simmons, and I always read Steve's column before we come on the air every year. He's got a great column on his Sunday Notes. I'm a proud subscriber. Steve Simmons, good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. Very well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Steve. We corresponded by email a couple of days back. We brought you on for a specific topic, Steve. High school football. Something near and dear to Naz and I. Naz and I were teammates in on the Emory Collegiate Hillman back in 1974. Brought back great memories. Naz and I have been friends since. With so many other teammates, we've been friends. And Steve, you wrote an article on July 21st in Post Media about high school football. Senator O'Connor was trying to bring the program back, but it brought in the whole topic of high school football. And in some ways, maybe it isn't what it used to be. I don't know. We're going to ask you that. But I want to settle one question right off the hop. You played with the York Mills Titans, I think they were called. What position did you play?
I played primarily offensive line, tackle most of the time. Also played defensive line, a little bit of linebacker, and I was the backup place kicker.
Oh, you could some place kicking too. Let me tell you, Steve, we have now determined that you and my co-host Naz faced off against each other in that memorable game, York Mills and Emory Collegiate, back in the fall of 1974, where you utterly blew us away. So Naz was an offensive and defensive lineman, and you guys destroyed us on that particular afternoon because you guys had a fantastic team. But you lined up against my co-host.
You know, one of the things that I certainly remember carrying around with you is are the people you played with. And I was fortunate enough to play with some incredible athletes. And one in particular, in a quarterback, we had
Jim Rutka.
Named Jim Rutka, yeah. Who has since become a legendary doctor in Toronto at Sick Kids Hospital. And he has the Order of Canada, and he's just an incredible man. And he quarterbacked Queens to a Vanier Cup, and he quarterbacked Princeton. He's had one of those lives that you should write about. But because he was so much better than almost anyone we played against in the early years, especially in junior football, the first year, we just blew everybody away. We won the championship in, I think it's 1972, and I don't think one game was close. Like, every game was we'd win by 30 points. And so we got used to that kind of dominance. And it's just, I think it gave everybody confidence when one guy could do so much more. I guess it would be like the high school equivalent of playing with, you know, Tom Brady, yeah. or right now, if you're going to use the Argos as a reference point, Chad Kelly. It just makes you a better player, but it makes you work harder. It makes you want to be better. And what I loved about football, and I presume you guys are probably similar, is it didn't matter what kind of athlete you were. It didn't matter how big you were, how small you were. There always seemed to be somewhere where you could fit in. And so you were part, and that part of the team mattered. If you screwed up, it screwed up your team. Like, if I missed my block, if I didn't block the defensive lineman coming at me on a passing play and the quarterback got sacked, that's messing up my team. And I love that part of the sport where one person doesn't, you know, win and lose games, even though we were fortunate enough to have an exceptional athlete, you know, on our team for the first 3 years. Anyhow, he was one grade ahead of me. So I didn't play 4 years with Rutka. Interesting story. The fourth year after he left, and we had not won a senior championship with him at quarterback. We weren't supposed to be that good of a team. And we moved our tight end to quarterback, a pretty good friend of mine. And we wound up winning the championship that year. And I think we won it just because we just pounded the ball, both offensively and defensively. We just we understood what we had learned in the previous years, and we didn't do anything pretty. We just made 4 yards and then another 4 yards and then smash the ball. And our, I hate to say it as an offensive lineman, but we had four guys on the offensive line who had all played 4 years of high school football together.
Wow.
And they knew how to play. And we wound up steamrolling teams because of it.
Yeah. Before I turn it over to Naz, I just want to get in a plug in for myself, Steve. I was a flanker, and I actually scored a touchdown against York Mills in that game. And Naz verified it this morning.
Get, by the way, did you get your name in the paper in that little?
Yeah, yeah, I used to. I actually.
They used to put the scores.
They did, and I was actually. You'll remember this, Steve. The Toronto Star had a guy or a girl in every school that used to call in the results after all the high school games, and I was the guy in at Emory Collegiate. So if the girls were playing basketball, I'd stick around and watch them. And then we used to have to call in the Toronto Star, and then they'd publish everything the next day. I can't remember if they paid me for it. Probably
they did pay you because I was one of those guys too.
Yeah,
and I did the Globe and Mail as well.
Did the Globe? What did how much did they pay us? I'm just curious.
I don't remember
a buck or
how
something.
Much,
I don't know.
It wasn't a whole lot of money. I just remember they insisted on the score being accurate and the name spelled properly.
And you had to spell it. I'll turn it over to my co-host Naz.
The thing I remember about Jim Rutka is you couldn't get to him, eh? You think you're going to get him, but you couldn't get to him. As a lineman, he was very frustrating to play against.
He was a track star.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a national team triple jump athlete. And so you're talking about, an exceptional athlete. He was probably the best player on our basketball team. He was the best player on our football team. He was, he was that once in a lifetime guy you get around you in that circumstance. But you know what? We still had 30 other guys or 40 other guys that had to pull their weight and do their things. And we had, coaches really matter in football. Coaches really matter. How do you learn? How do your plays go? What are your reps like? All that kind of thing. And we practiced pretty darn hard.
Yeah, we certainly did.
My recollection is. And one of the things that I wanted to say, I didn't care much for high school. I wasn't a great student. I didn't really focus on school the way I probably should have. I was a bit of a slacker and that kind of thing. I really think that if it wasn't for football, I might have not finished high school. And then who knows what happens to you if that happens. But I think because I loved being around it and what came from it and all of the success that we had, it kept me engaged with school activities. And, I wound up playing on the lacrosse team and some other teams afterwards.
Certainly. And Steve, we have Lou Franceschetti. I'm sure you'll remember him.
Oh, sure.
He's helping to co-host with us today. And talking to Franceschetti, he says he claims he played a little bit of high school football, which I find hard to believe. And said, you played a couple of games at quarterback, Lou? Tell us about your high school football career.
Well, I played one full year at quarterback, which we went 0-7.
Which school?
George Harvey.
George Harvey, okay.
We always used to go up against probably one of the better teams in East York. Steve, you could probably remember them, East York Collegiate. And then my senior year, I played tight end on the senior team and actually scored a touchdown off a blocked field goal, and I strutted in the last 10 yards and got crap from the coach for doing it.
I love that story, Lou. That's outstanding.
Steve, I want to ask you.
I got to tell you one quickly.
Go ahead.
I mentioned earlier I was the backup place kicker.
Yeah.
And we're in one of our – this is my first –
Were you a Lou Groza type or you were a side swiper?
No, the square toes.
The square toes, okay.
I had that you could buy those shoes, by the way, those days. And I could hit from about 40 yards.
Wow, that was big for high school. Wow.
I could get my kickoffs, pretty darn deep. They put me in, we're up about 40-0, and they put me in to kick off. And I'm nervous as hell for some reason. Why, I don't know. And I get up to kick the ball,
and I do a Charlie Brown. I all but miss it. But I just touch the side of the ball,
yeah,
and it goes on a 45-degree angle about 15 yards as far right as it can go. The wide guy on our team, who's running the kick team, picks up the ball in one bounce and scores a touchdown.
Wow.
Like, it was like it looked like this was a planned play, right? It was perfectly terribly executed.
Wow.
And I get back to the bench, and the coach thinks I'm the smartest guy that ever lived. I set up this play. And this guy, I don't know where Ron Autry is today.
Yeah.
But, you know, thank you, Ron Autry, for picking up that ball. And
wonderful. And what a wonderful story.
What you did with it.
Steve, we got Naz and I, and we've got a reunion committee with our high school football team. We're like the when they did the Band of Brothers TV series. That was what high school football was for me. It was these guys are, you know, 50 years later. We can sit around and we rehash all the stories, all the places we used to go drinking, and on the amazing thing about the one prize possession of from high school football, which I don't know. I regret to this day. I still don't have it. I don't know what my mother did with it. My high school football jacket. It was when we got those jackets and we were able to walk around the hallways. Man, I felt like I had I was walking on air. And I know that you proudly still show your high school jacket.
Well, my wife has been trying to throw this thing out for almost 40 years. What do you need that for? What are you doing with it? And I had two of them at one time. I had our, because we won two championships, won a junior championship and a senior championship. I wanted to keep both of them. Eventually, I had to, you know, negotiate off this. Which one do I like better? Well, one jacket was nicer than the other one. So I kept the nicer one. But and it's still in the basement, and I still, every once in a while, just pull it out just to look at it.
Does it still fit?
You know what's funny? I'm smaller today than I was then.
Yeah, you were a lineman, yeah.
Although I was a lineman, and I weighed in the 230 range at the end of high school. So I was reasonably big for an offensive lineman at that time. Probably not today, but the thing about high school football then, you were talking about then and now?
Yep.
In those days, every school had
one. Yeah,
every school and the boroughs were set up. North York had its own league, and Scarborough had its own league, and Toronto had its own league. And there weren't any of these bowl games at the end of the year like they have now. But now you look around; I don't know how many schools in North York even have football teams.
Not that many, from what I understand.
And my youngest son, who's now in his 30s. He wanted to play high school football, but the school he went to did not have a team. And my wife put together a committee of people to bring football to Westmount Collegiate in York Region. And they raised money, and they got pledges on equipment, and they got 100 kids to sign up, and they found a coach in the school, and they got all that. And at the end of the day, the principal said, no, I don't want it.
Yeah, high school football was such a part. Talking about the mid-70s, when we went to high school, and we're contemporary, Steve, it was such a big part of the culture of the school. We used to have pep rallies. I don't know if this even exists anymore. We used to have pep rallies where, you know, we'd run out in our high school uniforms into the gymnasium, and the whole school would be there cheering for us. And then, you know, we'd go out in the field, and the whole school would go watch the game. And then they'd get buses to transport the students to when we played at other schools. It was such a big part of the autumns and of the school and the school spirit and all of that stuff. Does that even exist anymore?
Well, it does, but not in this country.
Oh, I got it. Yeah.
You know, in the United States, Friday night, you know, we all know Friday night lights.
Yeah, of course.
That's, you know, high school football in the United States is almost out of control huge. It is so big and so important, and especially in the smaller centers. But here, you know, it's coming back very slowly. And at a time when football, it's funny, there are 26 Canadians in the NFL right now, which is a record number.
Great point.
So more Canadians are playing football at a higher level than they've ever played it before. And summer ball, I don't know if you've seen the OVFL or any of the summer leagues around Ontario. The quality of summer football, it's basically the equivalent of what AAA hockey is. So all the guys who are going somewhere in hockey have to go through AAA. And all the people who are going somewhere in football, whether it's to Canadian universities or American universities, are playing summer ball. But the school football, I don't think, is nearly the quality of what it once was. And that's unfortunate because they, you know, you got so many kids involved and so many memories for life. These are lifelong memories you have. It's not necessarily football. Maybe you play basketball. Maybe you're on the hockey team. I know my kids from their minor hockey days. They're in their late 30s. From their minor hockey days, still talk about this tournament in Pittsburgh or this tournament they went to in Detroit or things like that. Sport is fantastic for kids. For those kind of things, we get flooded with so much misinformation about what's wrong with sport, and what's wrong with hockey, and what's wrong with football. We don't talk nearly enough about what's right about them.
Steve, unfortunately, my producer's giving me the glare because we've taken this probably 30 seconds longer than you know what live radio is all about. Steve, we've got a deadline here.
Pay the bills.
Unfortunately, we've got to go. It's been great. It's been a blast going down memory lane with you. I actually ran into a few times with you at Garnet Williams. I was coaching in the CVHA for about 10 years when I lived in the Thornhill area. But listen, Steve, thanks so much for this. It's been an absolute blast. We appreciate your time.
I've enjoyed it. Lou, be well.
Thanks. Lou, thank you so much. Naz, I always give you the last word.
Well, go Leafs go, I guess.
Go Leafs go. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week. To Judy from Etobicoke and Julius from Cambridge, thanks for calling in and winning those Pizzaville coupons. We'll talk to you again next Sunday morning.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.